Now we're holding on page 204 in Brachos, the last line, Ois Kuf Lamed Tes. Mishnah says, since the Mishnah previously talked about proper behavior in on the Harabayis and in front of the eastern gate of the Harabayis, so now the Mishnah goes on to discuss something that they did in the Bais Mikdash differently than anywhere else, and a change that they made in that regard. So the Mishnah says, Kol chosme brachas shebe mikdash. Any ending of a bracha in the Bais Mikdash, they would say, they wouldn't say, when they finish a bracha, and there are different mafoshim, are we talking about the brachas, are we talking about the brachas in Shemana Esther, are we talking any brachas that they said in Tefillah, are we talking about specifically Birkas Koyanim? Anyway, they would say, instead of we say Baruch Atah Hashem, whatever, they would say Baruch Hashem or the Kei Yisrael Ad Ha'olam or Min Ha'olam, there are different gusos. So originally they would say that. Mishakilkalu ha-minim, once the minim messed up, minim, the various people who don't believe in one Hashem, who believe in various distorted versions of Torah, va'omru ein olam ala'echa, they say, ada olam, and that means there's only one world, or min ha-olam, same thing, means you're implying that there's only one world, his skinu, she'omim min ha-olam va'ad ha-olam, and they made the new takana that they should say min ha-olam va'ad ha-olam. The first time we find that, we find by Ezra when he and the people were davening over there in the Bais Mikdash, then we find them using the expression Mina Olam Ad Olam. So they made this takana that instead they should say that way, so that way it's clear that we believe in two worlds. Actually, the printed versions in the Gemara actually say Mishakilkalot Tzdukim, and the Maharat Chayyus says, one second, Tzdukim started a few generations after Ezra. So how are we already having in Ezra's time that's a problem, and therefore the correct Dirsa seems to be like we have here in Enyakob HaMinim, and Minim, there's always been groups like that who distort Torah and whatever. So, yeah. So then they'd say, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Min HaOlam Va'ad HaOlam. So for example, let's say, so Rashi describes, let's say, for example, the first bracha, the middle bracha, Shemana Esrei, Chonin Ados, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Chonin Ados. They would say, when they're davening in the Bais Mikdash, Baruch Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Min HaOlam, Vada Olam, Baruch Chonin Ados. So they would expand it to express that idea. And we'll see in the Gemara why they would do that. Also, since we're talking about takonis that the Chachamim made, as far as how we mention Hashem's name and how we praise Hashem's name, they also made a takona that people should greet each other with Hashem's name. That people should ask after each other's welfare with Hashem's name. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "V'hineh boyas bo mibeis lachem," we find in Megillas Ruth that boyas is coming from Beis Lachem out to his field where Ruth happens to be picking grain. "V'yomer lakotzrim Hashem imachem," he says to the harvesters, "Hashem is with you." "V'yomer lo yivarach Hashem," and they said to him, "Hashem should bless you." So we see that this concept existed. From Rashi's Loshen is mashma that it's not that Boaz and company made the takana at that time, but rather that Boaz did it as a personal minhag or something, and then eventually there became a takana like that, and they used this pasuk as an asmachta for it. There are different opinions about that. There is an opinion, the Medrash seems to say, that Boaz and his beis din actually made the takana. And in fact, the Malbim says on the pasuk says Vihine Boyaz Bami Beis Lachem. The Vihine implies something sudden, something unexpected. This is the first time they had just come from the Beis Din Shtibul, where he and the Beis Din had made this takana, and therefore this is the very first time that this is being done. The reason behind it, different Mephoshim talk about different things. One is that people should be used to mentioning Hashem like this. You don't want people to forget about Hashem. For the same reason, for example, we know how much the Baal Shem Tov pushed that people should say Yirtzeh Hashem and Baruch Hashem and Geloyt Got and other such phrases like that. We have the famous thing the Baal Shem Tov said that we give Hashem his parnasa that way. So that's one idea. The other idea is that people should be looking after each other's shalom. Particularly, the Malbim says over there, since you find that was the time by Hibi Mesh Shvot Ashoftim, when unfortunately even the judges were corrupt and people weren't acting in a proper way. So the Chachamim found it necessary to strengthen the shalom between one Jew and another, and therefore they made this takana. So Rashi over here points out, in other words, the point of the takana is we shouldn't think that it's mezalzel. We shouldn't think that it's treating Hashem's name casually just for the sake of kavod habrias. We see that Boaz did it, and we see the other examples that the Mishnah is going to go on to bring. Nowadays, by the way, we accomplish that by saying Shalom Aleichem to each other, because Shalom is a name of Hashem. So therefore, we're also greeting each other with Hashem's name. So they would say the actual name of Hashem, or maybe they'd say, they probably wouldn't say Yud Kei Vav Kei, because it's outside of the Smithash, but they'd say Adnai or whatever. But yeah, we're Yotze by saying Shalom Aleichem, and Shalom is also a name of Hashem. V'omer, and you have another pasuk where also we see that a person was greeted with the name of Hashem, where a malach says to Gideon, so you have a malach comes to Gideon and tells him, Hashem imcha giver achoyo, Hashem is with you, mighty warrior. So we're meant to understand that this is the malach greeting him with Hashem's name. So the idea would be, in other words, that the malach malach is also doing what Boaz did later on. Marsha, by the way, in Makkos, this Gemara is also, there's also a Gemara about this in Makkos. Marsha points out over there, you can't say that the malach is, you can't say that Boaz and his Beis Din made this takana, and now the malach is following suit, because Gideon was several generations before Boaz. With that said, though, the truth is, I mean, the Marsha over there was following what it says in the Gemara in Baba Basra, Ivtson Zeb Boaz, that Ivtson, one of the Shoftim mentioned in Sefer Shoftim, is identical with Boaz, and in that case, yeah, he's a couple of generations after Gideon. The truth is, there are Midrashim that place Boaz much earlier, so in that case, it could actually work out that that Boaz and his Beis Din made the Takana, and now the Malach is following suit. Anyway. V'omer, and you have another pasuk that shows the importance of this kind of thing. Al tovus ki zokna imecha. Don't mock because your mother is old. So in other words, we're dashing the word zokna is zokim, means the tamer chachamim, the elder tamer chachamim. Imecha, we're dashing the lashon umasecha, your nation. So don't mock what the elders of your nation did. Don't say, well, that was old times, I mean, it's not relevant anymore, or they didn't know what they're doing or whatever. Follow what they're doing. So if we see that the elders, like Boaz, did that, then you should know it's appropriate for you to do also. And yet another pasuk says, Eis lasis l'Hashem, they fader teresecha. It's a time to do for Hashem, they have violated your Torah. Which means that sometimes it's appropriate to set aside something of Divrei Torah in order to do something on Hashem's behalf. So the same way, Hashem wants that there should be shalom between people, so the Bakesh Shalom Radfehu, Rashi explains, so therefore it's appropriate to use Hashem's name to greet another person, even though it seems like it's something that's usur, because after all, you shouldn't be using Hashem's name casually, but it's important to do that because Eis Lasis Hashem, in order to, when the Chachamim decide that it's the appropriate time to do on behalf of Hashem, then Hefeder Teresecha, we make an exception and do something that seems to be a violation, that would normally be a violation of Torah. Rav Nosson Omer, Hefeder Teresecha Mishum Eis Lasis Hashem. Rav Nosson says, you douse in the positive and you say, Hefeder Teresecha, they have to violate the Torah because Mishum Eis Lasis Hashem, because the time to do for Hashem. So in other words, so one way of understanding what Rav Nosson is saying is he's backing up what the Tanakhama is saying. He said, the Tanakhama had said that you're saying, Eis Lasis Hashem, Hefeder Teresecha. Rav Nosson is clarifying, what does that mean? In this context, it means when Eis Lasis Hashem, then the result of that is Hefeder Teresecha, that we should violate Torah, or seemingly violate Torah, and in this case, for example, use Hashem's name in a way that seems to be inappropriate. Hakosef brings over here an interesting point from Pirush Mishnayos LaRambam that Rav Nosson is saying a different that Rav Nosson is actually giving a different twist on the pasuk. Now the Rambam explains over here in Pirush Mishnayos, and he explains in more detail in Yad HaChazaka and Hilchos Teshuva, that when we talk about in the Torah, we have all the schar v'onish that it talks about all over Torah and all over Tanakh. Gashmiyistic rewards and gashmiyistic punishments for keeping Torah versus violating it. And the Rambam explains the verdict is, in other words, if you have a person is acting wrongly, then the Eibishter will cause him to have all kinds of troubles so that he won't be able, he won't have the time or the energy or anything to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs because he's too busy with his gashmiyistic troubles, and then he winds up losing Shnei Olamos. So the Rambam says a similar idea over here. When you have a person that is violating Torah, his favorite Torah Sefer, then Eibishter causes Eis Lasis LaShem. Hashem acts in a way where he winds up, now he has more reasons to not be able to do Torah because he's too busy with his troubles and difficulty making Parnassah and everything else. So the Rambam says that's the twist that Rav Nosson is putting on the pasuk. So differently than the Tanakhama, it's not just a matter of that the Chachamim have the ability to make takonis that seem to be against the Torah, but also that we learn this lesson from it. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Kol Kach Lama. Why? We're in the Beis Mikdash, so we say this whole long Loshen, Baruch Hashem, the Kei Yisrael, Min HaOlam, and later on Min HaOlam, Ra'ada Olam, and then later on Min HaOlam, Ra'ada Olam. Why such a long Loshen? And the reason is Lafisha ain't only Mamikdash Amen. Because in the Beis Mikdash, you don't just say Amen to a Bracha, you say Baruch Shem Kvod Machos Olam Bar. So it's not appropriate that if you're going to have in the Beis Mikdash a longer answer, then it's only appropriate that the bracha that it's answering to should also be a longer nusach. Marsha refers over here to something that he says in Sota, a very interesting point. Outside the Beis Mikdash, we don't say Shem Havaya as it's written. We pronounce it Adonai. Now, you take the gematria of the names Havaya and Adonai and add them together, they add up to 91, which is the gematria of Omen. Therefore, outside the Beis Mikdash, the appropriate answer to say is Amen. In the Beis Mikdash, that would be inappropriate, because we're saying Shem Havaya as it's written. Again, you have a Machlokas Rishonim for what purposes we say that. Is it in every bracha that we say in the Beis Mikdash? Is it only in Shemana Esrei? Is it only maybe in Birkas Koyanim? Whatever it is, there are times in the Beis Mikdash when we say Shem Havaya as it's written. So therefore, Amen, which is a combination of Havaya and Adonai, wouldn't be appropriate over there. Therefore, instead, we have this longer Loshen, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Min HaOlam Vado, or Baruch Hashem Kvod Machos Olam Vado, rather, as the answer to it. Uminayin Shein Amen B'Mikdash, how do we know that you don't answer Amen in the Beis Mikdash, that instead you say Baruch Shem? Shenemar, we have in Nehemiah, which originally was part of Sefer Ezra, so that's what Rashi was saying before, that this started in the times of Ezra. Kumu Baruchu as Hashem Elokecha Min HaOlam Vado Olam. The Levim tell the people when they're all gathered together over there for a massive massive tshuva movement, and tell them, get up and bless Hashem your God, Min HaOlam Vado Olam. And then the pasuk continues, which that half of the pasuk we say in davening, Vivorchu Shem Kodesh. It's actually, so that when we start in davening, Vivorchu Shem Kodesh, few people realize it, but it's actually the middle of the pasuk. In Den Chagav, worth mentioning, by the way, that Amatzah says, Levav Enem Lefanecha is also breaking off in the middle of the pasuk, which is why in our Sidurim, you don't have two dots there at the end, you just have it stops without anything, and in some other Siddurim, I think in the Orth School Siddurim, they have a dash there to indicate that it actually goes together with Fachoros. It's really all one long puzzle. Anyway, so Vivarchu Shem Kvodecha, they should bless your glorious name. Umeroyma Mako Bracha Sila, and Hashem is exalted beyond any bracha and beyond any praise. So in other words, that represents Vivarchu Shem Kvodecha is saying Baruch Shem Kvod Machos Olam Vado. Rashi also brings from Kesefta that that we said in the Mishnah that they had to mean the sack and Mina Olam Vada Olam, which is minim, who thought there was only one world. So Fakert was saying that you should realize that this world is only, like it says in Pirkei Avos, kiprozed or lifnei atzrachim, like a hallway to go into the main room. So bless Hashem in this world so that in Olam Abba you'll be able to bless Hashem properly. Continues the Braisa, Yochol kol ha-brochus kulan tehillah and tehillah achas. So you would think that this means that all the brochus, you say one tehillah. In other words, maybe you just say one time, Baruch Shem Kvod Machos Olam Vado, at the end of all the brochus. Talmud Lomar, Umreimam, I'll call brocha usila. Meaning, I'll call brocha or brocha, ten lay tehillah, for every individual brocha, give Hashem praise. When it comes to Birkas Koyanim, actually, that Amma mentions based on a Mishnah in Talmud, that actually they would have to say it as one long bracha and just say Baruch Shem Kvod Machos Olam Vado at the end. But when the Chazan says it or when the Koyanim say it, we say Amen individually after each pasuk. There they would just say Baruch Shem at the end of the whole thing. But other than that, other brachas that are said in the Beis Mikdash, they would answer Baruch Shem Kvod Machos Olam Vado individually after each one. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, the Chachamim made a takana at some point, whether it was Boyaz in his Beistin, whether it was some later Beistin, whatever it is, made a takana that a person should greet, that a person should ask about somebody else's welfare using Hashem's name. And we brought four psukim about it. So the Gemara says, Mai va'oimer. What's this va'omer? Why do we need four psukim to teach us the same point? So like this, v'chitema boyaz midaita d'napshe kamar. You might say, from boyaz, there's no proof. He did it on his own. We can't necessarily learn from him that this is the proper thing for everybody to do. No, tashma, Hashem. So instead, we see that the Malach says it to Gideon. So now, Boaz, it's one thing you could say, okay, you know, he decided on his own that this should be the halacha, and therefore, but doesn't mean that everybody else is obligated to follow him. But when the Malach is doing it, he's obviously not asking halacha, so it means that he's showing us that this is the right way to do it. But still, you might object. That in fact, Maharsha brings actually a Gemara in Makkos that says that the Gemara mentions over there are a number of things that the Beis Din Shalmata made a takana and the Beis Din Shalmaila agreed with them. It mentions this one about Sheila Shalom, where Boaz and his Beis Din or whoever it was came up with the takana, and we see that Hashem agreed with it. And another one is the mitzvah supurim, and I forget what the third one is. Anyway, so Maharsha says here the Gemara could have said that we're bringing the pasuk about the malach to show that Hashem agreed with what Boaz is doing. But instead the Gemara is giving a different answer. Again, according to what Maharsha says over there, that in fact Gideon was long before Boaz, then Taka that wouldn't work out. So that's what we said before, that we say Shalom Aleichem, and that's Shalom is the name of Hashem. So you might say it's not a proof. The Malach is not telling it to Gideon, is greeting him. He's telling him a message from Hashem. He's not saying Hashem should be with you as in a greeting. He's telling him Hashem is with you. In other words, you are the one that Hashem has chosen to go fight against Midian and save the Jewish people. So that's not a proof that you always greet somebody with Hashem's name. So therefore, Toshma al Tovus Kizak Neimacho. Therefore, we have the pasuk. Don't mock that your mother is old, meaning don't mock Boaz and one of the elders of our people, Imecha, like the word Umosecha, and say that he just did with it on his own, but rather learn from what he's doing that he had who to rely on, and where do we see that he had to rely on? Va'omer, because the pasuk says, Eis lasis l'Hashem efeir u'teresach. That Boaz and other people like him have reason to be able to seemingly violate Torah in order to uphold the Torah. Maharsha says, the Gemara is not asking why we need that last pasuk, because you could say, Al Tovus Kizak Neimecha, fine, when there's Kainim or doing something where there's no reason to think that there's any possibility of Issur in it, sure, by all means learn from them. But where, like this, after all, it does involve using Hashem's name casually, maybe it's not right. Therefore, we need the pasuk, Eis Lasis L'Hashem, Efeir U'Teresecha, even though on the face of it might not be right, but nevertheless, this Kainim decided that this is the right thing to do, and therefore we should follow them. So the Gemara continues, Omar Rabba, Hai Krom a Resha the Sefer Midrash mis Sefer L'Resha Midrash. Actually, this pasuk Eis Lasis L'Hashem Efeir U'Teresecha can be darshan from the beginning to the end and from the end to the beginning. In other words, you can say each half of the pasuk is a cause. You can say the first half of the pasuk is a cause and the second half is an effect. Or you can say the other way around, the first half of the pasuk is the effect and the second one is giving you the cause of that effect. You can say Mireshal Seifa Midrash, you can darshan it going forward. Ace Lasis Lashem, that it's a time to do for Hashem. Why? Matam, why is it a time to do for Hashem? To do something unusual on Hashem's behalf. Mishum Hefeir Teresecha, because there are people who are violating your Torah. So Rashi actually explains what it means is that Hashem has his times to punish people because Hefeir Teresecha, because they violated Hashem's Torah. In a way, maybe that fits with the Rambam's explanation before, that Reb Nosson's Hefeir Teresecha, Mishum Eis Lasis L'Hashem, might be along the same lines also, that we're talking about how Hashem judges and punishes people. And then Miseifa L'Reisha Midrash, you can also darshan it going from the end to the beginning, Hefeir Teresecha. There is a time when it's appropriate to violate the Torah, matam, and what's the reason? Mishum Eis Lasis L'Hashem, because the time to do for Hashem. So here Rashi says, we're not even talking about something that seemingly might be also, but really you can find a justification for it, like greeting somebody with Hashem's name. We're talking about even, let's say, for example, of Yorubar Akam. It's blatantly also to bring Karbonis outside of the Mishmikdash. It's a Chiyur Karis. And Eliyahu was over 100 years after the Mishmikdash had been built. And still he did that because he knew that it's in order to make a siyug, to make a fence around the Torah, because he had so many people who were worshipping Avodah Zarah, and he had to get them weaned off it by showing them a public demonstration of Hashem's power.
Very big difference.
So it's a very big difference, exactly.
Very big.
Yeah, that's what Rava is saying. The pasuk actually fits either way. Yeah. In fact, Mefarshim point out before Rashi was talking about a sort of, so to speak, a minor thing, like maybe using Hashem's name a little too casually. Here, Rashi all of a sudden is talking about a major thing. The difference is we're talking about a one-time thing versus an ongoing thing. B'chal, a navi doesn't have the right to override a halacha permanently. If a navi comes and says this halacha or this din doesn't apply anymore, then he's a navi shefer. But if he's a known navi like Eliyahu HaNavi was, and he tells us to make a one time exception, like here to bring karbanos on Hara Camel, then we have to follow him. Elav Tishmon. So it's only a one off thing, as opposed to here we're talking about before a takana that the Chachamim made for all time to be shoyel b'shlem chaver b'shem. So that obviously it can't be a major thing like that. It can only be a minor thing, like a more minor thing, like using Hashem's name. Anyway, Marsha has a different understanding of the Miseifa L'Reisha and Mireisha L'Seifa. Because he says, Rashi's explanation of Mereisha L'Seifa is that you're darshing in the pasuk and saying that it's referring to how Hashem punishes people. Eis lasas l'Hashem, and Hashem has his time when he punishes people appropriately because hefeder terasecha, because they violated his Torah. Marsha says, though, there's nothing in the pasuk about judging and punishing, so how does that come in? So rather, Marsha says, the Gemara now is going to go on to talk about times about different times when it's what to do as far as hafatzas haTorah and hafatzas hayadus in different times when people are interested in it, when people are less interested in it, and so forth. So therefore, what we mean is that you have the eis lasas l'Hashem. There was a time to withhold your Torah because hefeder terasecha, because people are not appreciating it anyway, and therefore, like, there's no sense in putting it out there. As the Gemara. So he explains, in other words, that this is an introduction to the next piece that we're going to have now in the Gemara. Which the Gemara says, Tanya, Hilal Azokanoimer, the Sh'as HaMachansim, at a time when people are gathered together, or are gathered in, Kazer is a time to spread out knowledge of Torah. Meaning, Rashi explains, when you find that the Chachamim of the generation are not spreading, are not teaching Torah to their Talmidim, Kazer, then you should go and spread it out. You go and then work on Mitzrayim and work on spreading on your Chutzah minus Sefer Chutzah because the Chachmei Ador are not doing it. The Shas and the Fazerim, on the other hand, at a time when they're spreading it out, when they themselves are going and teaching Torah, Beroivam Kanes, then you, being of a lesser caliber, you hold yourself back. And then you hold yourself back and don't start putting yourself forward as a candidate. So each one, Rashi explains, is a covered Shemaim. Each one is part of Eis Lasas L'Hashem, Efeder Torasecha. In the one case, you're increasing the covered of Hashem by spreading Torah when nobody else is doing it. And in the other case, you're using the Midah of Anava when it's appropriate because you have many other people out there who are already teaching anyhow, and you yourself are not any greater than them, and you're not going to add anything to that. The Pashtus, we're talking about that he's lower than the Chachamim, but nevertheless, we had a couple of days ago the line from Bar Kappara that said that when you hear a horn sounding in Rome, then it's a symbol, it represents the son of the fig seller, go and sell your father's figs. In other words, the market for figs is open. If you don't grab the opportunity now, then the figs are going to go to waste. And the nimshal of it was that even if you're not the fig seller yourself, you're only the son of the fig seller, you're of lesser caliber, still grab the opportunity to sell the figs when you can, representing, in other words, to teach Torah when you have the opportunity. And Hillel continues, Imra Isa Dersha Torah Chaviva Olav. Furthermore, if you see a generation where the Torah is precious to them and they really want to learn Torah, Pazer, then spread out, go publicly and start teaching, go out and start teaching Torah to people, because you can see that people appreciate it. Shenema, as a pasuk says, Yesh Mefazer V'Noisef Oid, there is a person who spreads out, who scatters out, and more is increased. So as he scatters out and then works harder on being Marbitz Torah, then that causes a greater increase. But if you see a generation where the Torah is not so precious to it, kanes, then keep it inward, rather than, as Rashi says, rather than putting out Divrei Torah in a way that there's going to be bizoy. Shenema, eis lasas l'Hashem, efeder terasecha, as we said, there's a time to do on behalf of Hashem, and they violated your Torah, meaning there's a time when you're holding back your knowledge of Torah, and that's also the Shem Shemayim, because you're doing it in order that they don't treat it too casually. one example, I guess, we have. Every so often, you have these kinds of things. You used to have it a lot, for example, with Rabbi Avadia Yosef, all of Shalom, for example, that there'd be something he'd say in his shiurim, and they'd record it, and, you know, the next day, it would be making headlines all over that, you know, and it would be bazillion to the Torah. So the Pashtus, the Gemara here, is, among other things, hinting at that kind of thing. You know, Chacham Hizor B'Divreifem, when you have something that's meant to be kept within the Dalet Amos Shal Halacha, and not to be sent outward and misinterpreted. Maushal also explains further that, so now, from the way Rashi has explained it, it seems there's two different things. Number one, you have the Chachmei Hadur. The first part about B'Shasa Mechansim Pazer or B'Shasa Mephazrim Kanes is addressed to the Chachamim. So you may not be the top caliber Chacham, but if you see that the really top caliber ones are not being Mephazer, then you go and do the job. But not the Talmidim, in other words, because the Talmidim still don't have the business of doing that. The second part about a generation that Torah is precious and not would be referring to the Talmidim. Then Maharsha brings actually that Yerushalmi implies that it's all one thing, that the Shasa Mechansim Pazer is also addressed to the Talmidim. That when you see that the Talmidim, that Torah is precious to them and they want to take it in, Pazer, then go spread out Torah and teach it to them. On the other hand, when you see that the Talmidim themselves are scattering it around and treating it casually, then you gather them together to teach them in the appropriate way. By the way, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, for example, that mentions it, that tells the story of what happened before on the day Rabbi Eliezer passed away. So it mentions over there that Rabbi Eliezer started crying, and he said that he said my arms are rolled up like a sefer Torah. There's so much knowledge of Torah. There are thousands of halachas that nobody ever thought to ask me, and now all of those are going to be lost with me. So why didn't he take the initiative and then teach them the pashtus? That may be based on our Gemara over here. He didn't think that the Talmidim of his time are going to appreciate them and are going to understand them for what they are, and therefore he withheld them, and then he's bemoaning the fact that nobody even thought to ask him that he should have an opportunity to say. The Gemara continues, Dorash Bakapara, Zalas, when you see that there's merchandise, in this case meaning merchandise of Torah, that's cheap, that's undervalued, Kfoitz Knei Mina, then go jump and buy from it, because eventually it's going to go up in price. So again, the meaning also, knowledge of Torah. You see, if people are treating it contemptuously and disrespectfully, go in and gather up as much of it as you can. Eventually, people will realize the worth of it and it will appreciate. You have, by the way, the Medrash says that uncle, the Roman emperor, either Titus or I think it was Adrianus, says in the Medrash, gives him the same advice that Unculus says, I want to go out into the world. I don't want to live between the four walls of the palace my whole life. I want to go out into the world and see what it's about. So Adrianus gives him the same advice that Bakapara is saying over here. Find something that's undervalued and invest in it. Eventually it'll go up in value. Unculus goes, as we know, and became a Yid. And later on, when Adrianus finds out about it and summons Unculus to see him, he says, what do you think you're doing? Uncle says, I just followed your advice. The Jewish people are the most precious thing, and they're very undervalued now, but I realize, therefore, that means that eventually everybody's going to realize the value of them. And Bakapara continues, Ba'asar Deles Gvar, in a place where there's no person who's acting in a great way to lead the people, Taman Habe Gvar, there you should be that person. So it's like, you know, you have, Maharsha points out, you have a mission in Pirkei Avos, but Makom Shein Anoshim Mishtad Elias Ish. What is Bar Kapara adding to that? So Maharsha explains that the Mishnah there in Pirkei Avos is talking about Sochei Tzibur. If you don't have Makom Shein Anoshim, you don't have somebody who's standing up to help the Tzibur, to be on the Vada Kohol, to lead things, to do practical things for the Tzibur, then you go ahead and take the initiative. Here in our Gemara, where we're talking about teaching Torah, the context is about teaching Torah, then Bar Kapara is adding that point. So in other words, the one in Pirkei Avos is saying that even, for example, so you're going to be Oisik with Sochei Tzibur, it means you're going to be setting aside your looting, you're not going to have as much time for looting as you would have wanted. Fine, it's still worthwhile, as the Mishnah say over there, Chizchus Avos and Masayatam, etc., etc. Here we're talking about that in a place, as far as teaching Torah. And Omer Abaya, Shmamina Ba'asa Iskvar, and we can derive from what Bakapara is saying the converse is true. Where there is a man who is capable of doing that, Taman Loy to have Igvar, in that kind of place, you should not be that person. Meaning, don't put yourself forward as to be Murda Halacha in a place where there are greater people than you. So the Gemara asks Pita, isn't that obvious? And in fact, Marsha refers over here to a Gemara that says in Sota, that says both things. It says that you have a pasuk over there, ki rabin chalolim hipila va'atsumim kol harugeha. And the Gemara says each half of that pasuk is referring to a different thing. The ki rabin chalolim hipila is a person who is not of the caliber to be teaching and passing halacha yet, but he puts himself forward and starts doing that. And the va'atsumim kol harugeha is the flip side of the person who is capable of that and holds himself back with force another where there's nobody available to be doing that. So here, in other words, if Bakapara is saying that where there's no person you should do that, there's not much of a chiddush in that either. Again, we have that from the pasuk, Batsumim Palaruga. The reason why Bakapara is saying it is in order that we should be medayat from it, what Abaya is saying. Well then, the question is, what Abaya is saying is also pasuk. And the answer is, the chiddush of what Bakapara is implying and what Abaya is telling us explicitly is where they're both equal. So you come to a place where there's another Talmud Chacham, and you and he are of equal caliber, so you don't start taking over and start darshaning in his place. Now, you could say he's not greater than you, but on the other hand, he's not less than you either. Because if he was greater than you, then anyway, you have a problem. We know from various Gemaras, we had earlier in our Masechta, in fact, you're not allowed to be Moira Halacha B'fnei Rabbi, you're not allowed to teach Halacha in the presence of your Rebbe. But here we're saying they're both equal, nevertheless, you shouldn't be taking the leadership position because you already have somebody doing that. So the Gemara continues, Dorash Bar Kapara, in this connection, Bar Kapara also Dakshin. What is one small parasha, one small pasuk in the Torah that many vital, that many basic things in Yiddishkeit all depend on it? That is the pasuk, b'chod rachecha de'ehu, in all your ways, you should know him, you should know Hashem, v'hu yeyasher urchesecha, and Hashem will straighten out your ways. So in all your ways, always consider, and Rashi uses the expression, afilu laver aveira, even when it comes to doing an aveira, which again, like we had before, Elio Barakano, that Elio has to carefully consider, does the circumstances justify doing such a thing, which would normally be a serious aveira, but with that he is doing it l'shem shemayim, so take into consideration, de'ehu know Hashem well, and consider whether that's the correct thing to do. Marsha, in fact, says the vote is not Zochrehu, remember Hashem, but De'ehu, which means to know Hashem, to know a Yedia Amitis, to know really deeply and truly that Hashem exists and that Hashem is watching everything you do. And therefore, Vahu Yashar Urchesecha, and he will straighten out your ways, because we know, Abolitire Messiah Noise, Hashem helps the person who wants to become Tahir. It is Bashkocha Pratis, actually, the mimer of this year, the mimer of Toshin Mem Gimel on Basi Lagani, that actually mentions this point also, that you have a person may have to be involved in Yonah Olam Hazeh, but he has to be careful not to be too much in a Yediya with those. Yediya, of course, means being very close with it, like Va'adam Yoda. So if I care, Yediya should be reserved for the Eivish there, the Gashmius that you're dealing with over there should be more in a superficial way, where you're above it, and not that it infiltrates into you. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here then, that when b'chod rachachav de'ehu, when in everything you're doing, you know the Eibishter intimately, and therefore you make sure that there's nothing else there that you know so intimately, then you're going to go in the right way. So that's what Rashi is saying, even when it comes to the rare case where a person has to do an Aveda L'Shem Shemayim. So besides Eliyahu Bar Akamo, there's also, for example, there's a Gemara in Nozir and in Hurrius, actually in Nozir, we'll be getting to it in a couple of weeks in Daf Yomi, Bez Hashem, that you have the rare example of what's called Aveda L'Shema, where a person in history did something that on the face of it is an Aveda, but they're actually doing it L'Shem Shemayim, and the Eibishter gives them credit for it. One example it brings over there is Lloyd's daughters. They thought the whole world world was depopulated. Another example is Yoel with Sisra, this week's Haftarah, where she invites him into the tent, and the Gemara says she seduced him, even though she was a married woman, so that way he'd be weak, and that way he'd fall asleep, and she'd be able to kill him. So those are examples of this kind of thing that the Gemara calls Aveira L'shma. Obviously, it's not a license for anybody to pick and choose on their own. I can do this Aveira, and I'm doing L'shem Shemayim. You know, obviously, a person has to be of a very high caliber to even be able to think of such a thing. That's the Gemara says in those places, the Aveira L'shma, the Mitzvah Shalom L'shma, yeah. So, you have to look in those Gemaras. Eventually we'll get to Ananya and Yaakov, Bez Hashem. One point that Tosfos makes in a few of those places is that, for example, the parallel mitzvah Shalom L'shma is, for example, the Imahos had relations with their respective husbands, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It wasn't, it was L'shma, obviously, because they're doing it in order to found a Jewish people, but there's also a certain Hanah involved, as opposed to, for example, Yoel with Sisera. The Gemara makes it clear over there there was no Hanah at all, because a tzedekus, like who doesn't have Hanah from a Russian. So in that sense, it's Gedolah. Yeah, yeah. Esther and Achashverosh is a different matter. There, she was an anusa, basically. She was in a state of being raped. Here, we're talking about with Yoel and with Lot's daughters, where they initiated it. So that's a little different. So in this connection about Bechol Derechecha De'ehu, the Gemara says, Amar HaPapi Yerova, Afilu L'Dvar Aveira, that yeah, it means even as far as a Dvar Aveira, even when a person is doing a Dvar Aveira, still, there has to be a certain awareness of Hashem. So it can mean, for example, like we're saying, there is an Aveira Shalom L'Shma, but also the point is, in other words, even when a person is doing an Aveira, at least he has a certain basic knowledge of Hashem that may even get him to go on the right path, but even if not, it's at least an emuna that's makif on him that eventually has an effect. Omer Papa, Hainu da Amri Inshi. This is like the expression that people say, Ganva Pumachtau to Rahmana Kori, the Ganav, when he's by the entrance of the tunnel, he's about to break into a house to rob it, he calls out to Hashem to make him successful. So in that sense, in other words, he's obviously doing a serious Avera, but there's a certain idea of Hashem there, and there's any number of places in Chassidus where it quotes this line, which, by the way, you don't even have in the printed Gemaras. It's only here in Ein Yaakov. And the point is, in other words, that you have the problem with the problem with this Ganav is that his Amuna is only makif. It's only surrounding him. It's not actually penetrating into him like it should. If it did, then he would know. I'm calling out to the Eved to help me to do an Aveda. The problem is that he only has his Amuna in a way of makif. So we're saying that's at least something. At least it's better than that he doesn't have the Amunah at all. But on the other hand, obviously, he needs to work on internalizing that Amunah so that it should actually have an effect on his Maisim, and he's no longer a Ganav. And the Gemara continues, Dorash Bakapara, Lo'olam Yilamed Odomus Bnei Umnus Nikiyah Vakala. This is actually a Mishnah at the end of Kedushin as well. A person should always teach his son a clean and easy craft. Clean in the sense, not just clean as in he doesn't have to get his hands dirty, but also clean from gezel, something that can be done 100% honestly. The kala, and that's easy, for one thing, kala means that marsha brings from the oruch, it means she'en b'chisorin kiss, there's no potential of a loss in it. So that way, and the idea is that this way it's clean, so therefore the person can do it without any fear of gezel, and it's easy, and there's very little downside in it, and that way he has his mind free to be able to learn Torah. What kind of occupation are we talking about? I'm going to be able to master to tell me yusa. For example, stitching in rows. So Rashi translates it that it means embroidery in, so the first word Rashi used, brostir, means embroidery basically, and the second one, govis, means something like the kind of vest that in those days people wore under a suit of armor. The point is that they were made sort of like a quilt with stitches in neat rows. So when you learn to do that kind of thing, quilting and stitching in neat rows, that's the kind of thing that it's very easy to do, and it's nikia, it's clean of gezel, because there's really no possibility of gezel when doing that, and it's kala, it's very easy, and there's very little financial risk involved. So that's the kind of thing we're saying that a person ought to teach his son, that kind of umnus, and that way the son will be able to stay free of gezel and able to learn Torah as much as possible. Obviously, if everyone goes into that same field, there'll be too much competition. But in other words, we're saying that that's vachatchila, the kind of thing to do. But, you know, yeah, Gemara mentions in a few places, you know, the world also needs canners and perfumers, but, you know, still ashrei this one and oivoi that one and so forth. Yeah. So what kind of job would that be nowadays? First of all, there is still tailoring to be as tailoring and sewing to be done nowadays. I once saw somebody said, I don't know if this was any kind of bar samcha, that an umnus the key of a kala nowadays might involve computers because programming, for example, there's also, you know, it's relatively easy. You're sitting at a desk all day and there's not much room for gezel in it. There's not much room for gezel in it, but yeah, I don't know. All right, Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gola, test to that. So the Rebbe was talking about Mashiach, saying, came to Yolanu, this is how it should be for us, the Poyo Mamish, and take off from Yad Mamish, right away Mamish, with all the meanings within the word Miyad. And then the word Miyad means immediately, but it also includes the initials of all the generality of all the generations, the Mem from Moshe, the Yud for Yisrael, the Baal Shem Tov, and the Dalet for David, Malkum Mashiach. And even more specifically, when it comes to our generation, that the initials of the word Miyad, or Miramas to the three periods that have to do with the Frida Kareb. Starting from Mem, which stands for Mashiach, whose name is Menachem Shmai. Then you have before that the Yud standing for Yosef Yitzchak, and the Dalet standing for Dovber, the Rebbe Rashab, which Dovber being his second name. So therefore, Miyad encapsulates all of that. Continuing on Halachos of Brachas Acharonis. So we've been talking about Bor Pri Eitz and Bor Pri Adama. Now you say that bracha only when you can recognize, at least part of it, that it's still a fruit. But if it was mashed up or crushed up and you can't tell what it was, so one example, for example, is jelly, or peanut butter or whatever, then you would say shakol on that. Which actually, for example, it's actually not so simple. It really depends on the consistency of it. For example, with applesauce, there's a difference how chunky it is. If it's completely pureed, then it would be shakol. But if there's still chunks of apple in it, then it would be haetz. Same thing with peanut butter, for example. Chunky versus creamy, there can be that kind of difference. The dieved, if you say on them the appropriate bracha, then you yotze. If we're talking about a kind of fruit which generally most people eat them by crushing them, then you would say on them even lachtchila the appropriate bracha. So applesauce, I mean, the difference is that many people eat apples as they are, and many people also make them into applesauce. Here we're talking about we're a kind of fruit that mostly is eaten mashed up. So hard to think of an example off the top of my head. I mean, potatoes maybe come sort of close to it, but not really, because still people eat whole potatoes and potato chips and whatnot. But yeah, I guess if you can think of an example, then I guess that would be it. Another halacha. Rice or millet, if they were cooked and they weren't all squashed together, then you say on them bor pri hadama. Now the Alter Rebbe says that you actually say shakol on them, but you yotze if you say hadama, because you have the famous question whether oiras is really rice and whether doichan is really millet, or whether it's the other way around, doichan being rice and oiras being millet. So therefore the Alter Rebbe says that really ideally you should eat both of them within a suda, but if not, then you say shakol on them. But if you said hadama, then you yotze b'diyet. Now if they were crushed, or if you ground them up and made bread out of them, then you have a difference. In principle, odors is supposed to be mizonis, because even though it's not one of the chameshes aminim, it's still very satisfying like them, whereas doichan in that case would be shakol, but again, you have that suffer. So therefore, in short, you should only eat them, the soich hasoda, in a meal of bread. The shasat chak, if you don't have bread, then you say a shakol and bone of fashas on either one of them. Also you have, for example, cornbread or bread made out of other kidneys like that. Then even in places where they regularly eat that kind of bread, you would say shakol on it, because it's not real bread. So that would apply to cornbread, that would apply to, it would apply to rice cakes and other kinds of things like that.